Let's compare, shall we, Northern Ireland to England. How does it compare in terms of waiting list times? Because Mark Regan, who's the CEO of the Kingsbridge Private Hospital in Belfast, 352 is how one of his organisations is often referred to. Mark has pointed out to the Nolan Show that the total journey from a GP visit to your surgery will not exceed 18 weeks in total in England. So the total journey will not exceed that.
Yes.
How much is it in Northern Ireland as a comparison?
Well, we don't actually use that particular indicator here in Northern Ireland. It's a referral to treat that English target. It's also used in Scotland, and for both England and Scotland, for those two jurisdictions, you're quite right in what you say, that it is 18 weeks. But, you know...
What is it here roughly
but
then?
Just comparing and kind of counting numbers of weeks from referral to treatment... That's not actually going to fix things. What I'd rather do is concentrate on the different parts of the system that we need to process, re-engineer and change in order to ensure that we bring all of those waiting times down.
That's not...
Zero tolerance should be, in terms of any waiting times, should be the name of the game here.
So,
and that's what a number of us across health and social care are striving to try and achieve at the moment.
Well, that's handy for you, that you're just not prepared to look at that figure. But England and Scotland and Wales do. But it's quite handy for you to say, well, look, you don't want to even look at it. You don't want to even make a comparison. I'll make the comparison for you. Well, what I'll do is I'll quote what Mr. Regan has told this programme. So from the point, and I think an ordinary person can understand this, Valerie, from the point at which someone is referred to their doctor to the point at which they get then treated, it's no more than 18 weeks in England. That's the average time. Mark Regan is telling us in Northern Ireland it's more than 52 weeks. Is that accurate?
I don't know what Mark Regan is basing his assessment on there. But can I just also say, before I leave the money side of things here this morning, Stephen, can I just tell you some of the things that we could do if we had the extra... We spend £12 million a day on providing health and social care services in Northern Ireland. That's £84 million a week. If I simply had an extra £2 million per week to be providing those services, I could do, for example, approximately another 500 hip replacements. I could maybe replace about another 650 knee replacements. I could provide an extra maybe 125 more drug treatment courses for breast cancer. I could provide about another 720 community nurses on the ground.
If I had
an extra £2 million per week. I'm trying to set that in the context of we spend £12 million per day, £84 million per week on providing health and social care to the people of Northern Ireland. But an extra £2 million per week for me could provide all of those extra services.
Do you think that's too much to ask for?
Not at all, no.
Why won't they give it to you?
That's not for me to answer. We put up the all of the business cases, all of the facts and figures as to what we need to do more with.
What do you make of the fact that they're not giving you?
I'm telling you what I could do, you know, more with if I had an extra £2 million per week. And we will constantly strive to make the case that we need more money for health and social care to be able to provide the best standard and the safest standard of care that we can for the people and the citizens of Northern Ireland.
Here's probably the toughest question today. You sure you're getting your approach to Stormont right? Do you really think that you're being, on behalf of the public in Northern Ireland, tough enough with them? Do you really think they feel under pressure from someone like you? You know, when I ask you, what do you make of the fact they're not giving you it? And you kind of go silent. It's not for you to answer. What about someone in your position saying to those politicians, give it to us, and we want it now? And forget about other services, forget about other areas. I'm in charge of this Health and Social Care Board. What about someone like you saying, I'm devastated with people in Northern Ireland, that we're missing every single ministerial target that we have, and I want the money now? What about not going silent with them? What about when I say to you, what do you make of them not giving it to you, and you kind of go silent?
I can assure you, Stephen, and again, I would like to totally reassure your listeners this morning that there are very, very robust business cases, plans, strategies, documents, reports, and very passionate pleas put to those both in the department and at Stormont.
But the public need to hear that too.
About the need for extra money to be ploughed into and invested in health and social care.
I have two other areas and then we're done. Maybe another 2-3 minutes and we're done, if that's all right. Is there a system developing in Northern Ireland, a class system in Northern Ireland, where if you're working class and you don't have thousands of pounds to go private, that you are very much a second-class citizen in terms of the healthcare you will get? And the context for that question is, if you've got £4,000, you'll be seen this week or next week with a private consultant. And if you don't, you'll sit on your waiting list for years. How is that not a second-class, a class NHS in Northern Ireland, a classist NHS?
That would sadden me if I thought and believed that that was the case, Stephen. I am strictly working class myself. I come from a strictly working class background. I see members of my own family who, and I've got an elderly father who recently has had to have need of a lot of health and social care support, strictly working class. I have to say I've been very impressed with the services that those close to me have had of health and social care, not just recently, but over the years, even indeed whilst I've been living and working in Scotland.
And yet if you've got thousands of pounds, you can go private.
Of course, it is down to every individual in terms of their own choice if they wish to avail themselves of private healthcare insurance or private healthcare. They are at liberty to do that in terms of their own personal choice.
We've got a two-tier system in Northern Ireland, don't we? The working class are left on waiting lists for years, Valerie.
No, we don't.
And people like you and I, like you and I, can buy private health care.
No, we don't. We don't have a. No, we don't have
it. Yes, we do.
We don't have a two-tier system.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't have a two-tier system.
How can you sit there and say that?
However, what I would say is that, in back to this larger societal debate, which you said that you would come back to, perhaps in terms of the money that we have available by way of the total budget to provide health and social care services, we know that it's not enough. We know that we need more money. We know that if we don't get it, elective care waiting times are going to stretch out. This is where I said earlier, we need to know from and hear from the people of Northern Ireland what their priorities are in relation to the services that they want to see being provided for the total pot of money that is available.
Should there?
And that might mean, that just might mean that some of the services that we currently provide, maybe some of the treatments that we currently provide, will no longer be provided.
Like what?
I'm not sure. That's not for me to decide. That's for the citizens.
Well, you
citizens
can give it some ideas and some guidance.
That's for the citizens of Northern Ireland.
We'll throw up the ideas. Services like what?
To decide. I think we also, let's not avoid the elephant in the room here this morning, because I don't want to be accused of avoiding this. We also need to be looking, as Donaldson in the first recommendation in his report rightly suggests, looking at the acute network infrastructure that we have available to provide health and social care services from here in Northern Ireland.
That means cutting down the number of hospitals we have in Northern Ireland.
It does indeed.
Do you think we should?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And in terms of the services that maybe we as a population should think of foregoing, that your board not providing, services like what? Give us your thoughts. Like what?
No, I don't. I it's not for me to give you my personal thoughts on that. That needs to
I'm
be.
I'm not asking you to give us your personal thoughts as to what it should be, but areas like what?
I think we need communities to come together and to be having those very serious discussions and debates
about
what they want to prioritise
in terms of
further development of health and social care provision and what they feel is not maybe such high priority.
Valerie, you floated the idea. I guess that the majority of ordinary people this morning will be thinking to themselves, well, services like what? So that they can think about it, so that they can decide. So services like what? I'm not asking you your opinion, what should be cut. What could be up for grabs?
I mean, well, for example, at the minute, we don't provide any kind of bariatric surgery on the NHS, right? Mm-hmm. I get lots and lots of letters crossing my desk every day of the week requesting that service. I may be turning your question a bit kind of on its head, backways forwards here, but, you know, people seem to be, a lot of people or patients or indeed citizens write to me saying, can you please provide that service?
Yeah.
We don't do it at the minute. But again, as part of that bigger societal debate,
okay,
that might be
right,
something that they prioritise.
You're pushed for time. So I have two final questions and then we're done. Might it be the case that we need to radically look, when I suggest that we may have a two-tier health system in Northern Ireland, where the working classes are left on waiting lists for years. And if you've got a couple of quid, you can buy your healthcare this week. Might it be the case that we need to look at radically rewriting consultants' contracts so that they're not allowed to do as much private care, so that they have to do more operations, more care in the NHS? Do you think we should look at that?
I know that, again, there's been quite a lot of discussion about consultants working both for the NHS and indeed the private sector over the last couple of days, and the effect that may or may not have on NHS waiting lists or health and social care waiting lists here in Northern Ireland. The one thing I would state here this morning, Stephen, and I need to make it abundantly clear that, you know, consultants are at liberty. Some of them are only employed, for example, or on contract with us 3 days a week. And they choose then to work in the private sector on other days in any working week. What I need to be absolutely certain of is that we are getting maximum productivity from all clinicians, all physicians, all GPs, all surgeons that work across that system.
But with respect, that wasn't the question. The question was a more radical one.
And also supporting the minister, and I was delighted to hear him make a public announcement about this the other day on the introduction of the seven-day working.
But the question was a more radical one. Should we at least contemplate contractually forcing consultants, if they want to work in Northern Ireland, to do more work on the NHS?
I think all of these options are certainly being considered by colleagues along with myself at the moment. But the one thing...
So you're actively considering that?
We are looking at all options in terms of ensuring that we have the right people with the right skills doing the right things in the right places at the right time to try and reduce these waiting lists.
Because that would be fairly radical, wouldn't it? To say to a consultant in Northern Ireland, you know what, if you want to do your private work in Northern Ireland, we're contractually obliging you to do more for the NHS.
Well, do you know what,
to do
Stephen,
more for working class people.
Do you know what, Stephen? I and many others like me are not afraid. We're not running away from the very radical, because those are some of the options that we're going to have to stand up and address if we're going to try and fix these waiting lists.
One last question. Drugs in Northern Ireland. Because someone very senior in the health service recently suggested to me that we're not realising how better off patients and citizens of England are compared to Northern Ireland, because new radical drugs that are available on the market that can prolong life, you know, that fundamental aspect of prolonging someone's life who's told that they don't have long to go, you know, 2 years instead of 2 months, etc., etc., that there's going to be a huge gap now in Northern Ireland between the drugs that are bought into Northern Ireland and the drugs that are available to UK citizens paying the same amount of tax in England. Is that true?
Well, certainly with things the way they are this year, there will be no new nice drugs that will be approved until funding may be made available. Now, that is a very, very, very emotive issue, particularly for those people, such as some of your listeners yesterday, who are in extreme pain, who certainly come across to me as being at the end of their tether with the pain that they're experiencing.
So we're not buying any new drugs whatsoever?
There will be no new nice drugs approved or no new innovations approved because of the finances in this current year. That is the very stark reality of what we of the current position that we're in at the moment.
How do you feel about that?
Personally, I feel I am not proud of that. It is not an acceptable situation for us to be faced with. But again, we are looking right across how we use that £4.5 billion to see where we can do things differently to free up resources.
It's
about the whole transformation, reform, and change agenda.
But new drugs is the very latest science.
That we need to be examining how we work, where we work from, how we do business, how we get better, how we free up resources in order to deploy extra resources and much needed cash into other things that we absolutely need to fund.
So what this lot up in the hill, you can't say that I can, what these politicians up in the hill are currently delivering for people of Northern Ireland is the same amount of tax, the same amount of money being taken out of their wage packet in terms of taxes, and yet people of Northern Ireland are getting a second-class service in terms of new drugs available. In fact, they're getting nothing. So if you're in England, you will get a new drug that will prolong your life, that will alleviate pain, and those suits on that hill are delivering not one new drug to Northern Ireland. That's a factual statement, isn't it?
I'll repeat what I said earlier. Currently, in this financial year, there will be no new innovation approved, basically, or technology.
Let me paraphrase that.
Approved because of the budget situation.
Let me paraphrase that. No new hope for people in Northern Ireland.
I think that's unfair, Stephen.
No, it's not.
I think
no new hope, no new drugs. I think, for people in Northern Ireland.
No, I think you're.
See, it's a big word, Valerie. Well, I'll let you come back on that in 1 second. But here's what I mean. It's a big world. So lots of us will have relatives in Northern Ireland, and people who we know in Northern Ireland. It's a factual statement that if you're living in Northern Ireland and you've got the same disease, the same amount of pain as someone in England, and you're paying the same amount of tax as an English citizen, that a doctor in England will be able to give you a newer, potentially better, more effective drug, and because you live in Northern Ireland, you ain't getting it.
I don't know who you're making that point to. I've agreed with you here this morning already that personally I find that unacceptable. It's something that I'm not proud to reside over, but at the same time, the budget is what the budget is, and we know that there will be no, we do not have funding to approve any of these new technologies or treatments in the current year.
How quickly do you need to know about your 89 million?
Well, you know, as soon as possible, we need to know what is coming to us, because some of these changes that we would want to introduce by way of new systems of working or the introduction of new drugs or technologies or innovations into the system. Some of these changes you can't bring about just overnight. You've got to plan for them. For example, if we had the money to employ, you know, another, say, 100 consultants across a range of specialties, across a range of trusts, then we need to be advertising those jobs, conducting appropriate interview processes and assessment processes to bring those. That, and then they've got a notice period to work through. So, you know, you could be looking at a six-month window of introducing a new type of service in some cases. So the sooner we get an answer on the £89 million, the better.
As we close today, what's your message, first of all, to Stormont, to the politicians who give you the money, and then what's your message to the public? So first of all, what's your message to Stormont?
My message to the politicians is, as far as my accountable officer responsibilities as Chief Executive of the Board, I need an answer on the £89 million so that we can begin to put in place our planning for introducing all of the things that we've said that we will do with that £89 million. And one of the main reasons why I'm here this morning answering your questions and hopefully giving some reassurance to your listeners is that out of that £89 million, the Minister has bid for £45 million to put into elective care and trying to address those waiting lists.
What's the other £45 million for? Sorry.
It's for a range of other things. I have that information with me here somewhere this morning. But that's my message to Stormont. My message to the people of Northern Ireland is that I would like to again reassure them that we are not a health service in crisis, that in the main, all day, every day, we are providing appropriate treatments in the right places and at the right times and within acceptable waiting times. And that the majority of patients will continue to get their care in a very timely fashion. And maybe I'd just like to finish with this. Again, I refer to Donaldson. But at the end of his report, he said, in implementing the recommendations that he made in his report, that the leaders of the Northern Ireland health and social care system should be clear, very clear in their ambition, which in his view would be totally realistic, totally achievable. And that is of making Northern Ireland a world leader in the quality and safety of our care. And he finished his report by stating that Northern Ireland is the right place for such a transformation. And he said now is absolutely the right time.
Valerie, thanks so much it's the first time we've met. Thank you very much for coming in this morning. Thank you, Valerie. Right, we're going to get your reaction to this now. 08459 555 678. There's a 2p charge above your network charge for that call. What did you make of that? Some of what Valerie Watts has said there from the Health and Social Care Board. She's told Stormont, she's told the politicians that she needs an answer now as to whether she's getting the £89 million. She has also told you this morning that there's not one new drug being brought into Northern Ireland, which she has described as unacceptable. So you think about that. You think about if you or your children, this isn't just about elderly people, if your child gets sick, if your child is in a life-threatening situation, they are in a significantly worse off state in terms of new drug availability than someone sitting in England. So a child in England gets a drug, your child in Northern Ireland doesn't. Your mum or your dad, you know, the person who you love, who has brought you up, if they're in a situation where they need a new drug to alleviate their pain or to prolong their life, the mother or father who's an English citizen gets the new drug. You in Northern Ireland don't. And then the third, I'll just leave you with this thought. You have a Health and Social Care Board trying to pay for your medical care. Hundreds of millions of pounds. And the politicians up in Stormont who have just got a 10% pay increase, they cannot tell the health service in Northern Ireland whether they're getting the 89 million quid that they've asked for. The extra money that they've asked for to reduce your waiting times in Northern Ireland. So those waiting times are going to get worse, and the politicians, while their salary is assured, while their salary is assured to go up by 10%, they're leaving the health service in Northern Ireland in limbo, in the dark. They haven't said no, they haven't said yes. They just haven't got their act together to give them an answer. And meanwhile, you sit in the house, and if you're sick, you sit on a waiting list that's getting longer.